Now where did I leave those keys?
Honey, have you seen my wallet?
What if finding things were as easy as losing them? Meet Tile, the quickest, easiest, most affordable way to find your keys, wallet, and anything you don't have time to lose. Attach a Tile to any item, then use the Tile app on your phone and see its last location on a map. You can also locate it by sound. Order Tile today for just $25 with free shipping. Check it out at GetMyTile.com. That's GetMyTile.com.
You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here is your host, Steve Blair.
Welcome to another edition of the Bleed Blue Show, AFC South, NFC South Divisional Breakdown with Doom Radio. Doom, what's going on? How you doing today?
Doing good, man. Another week, some more conference talk, some more preseason football this weekend, week today, matter of fact. A lot of injuries, and it's getting closer, man. What, 3 weeks away for football? It's definitely getting exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is getting exciting. Before I even jump into the AFC South, NFC South Divisional, so you want to make any caveat to our predictions on the prior podcast, you can hear Bleed Blue Show, Doom Radio, go to Podcast Republic, tune in, iTunes, hit the archives for the AFC North, NFC North, AFC West, NFC West. Or you can go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast to download those links for the prior podcast for those division by division breakdown with Doom Radio. But you want to make a caveat: does the Jordy Nelson ACL injury into his season, does that cripple the Packers' playoff berth? Does it cripple their Super Bowl berth? If you could make a real quick statement, if you want to make any adjustments to our NFC North prediction, real quick, just real quick.
I don't think it's. I think they might lose a step. But I don't think it's going to ruin their conference, Super Bowl hopes, or anything like that. I think someone's going to step up, and you're just going to see someone just fill, not as good as Nelson, but somebody will fill that hole, I believe. I'm not too worried. With Aaron Rodgers, I'm just not that worried.
Okay, so basically you're saying you have them in the Super Bowl, do you have them in the conference championship? Like, where do they lose a step as far as them finishing?
I never even thought of them as a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I definitely see them in the playoffs.
Okay.
I definitely see them winning the
so
conference.
How about
division? Still,
what about division winner?
I agree with that.
We didn't really make any predictions. We'll probably make that in the future. We'll discuss that. I just wanted to get your thoughts because of that news that happened over the weekend with him. And a lot of other players, but that was the one that stuck up for mine. So let's get right into it. AFC South, NFC South, Divisional Breakdown. With Doom Radio, Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, Google Plus, Instagram, Bleed Blue Show. Let's start with the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, as you know, were the second worst team in the league coming off of last season. They make a couple of interesting additions to the team. Defensive tackle Carl Klug. You had a linebacker from the Redskins who's coming off injury, Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan. Tight end Anthony Fasano. It seems like he's been around forever. You got other guys like Brandon Harris that's coming onto the team. My boy Hakeem Nicks coming over from Indianapolis Colts prior to that to the Giants. They added offensive tackle Byron Bell and Kaleem Burnett. And, of course, the main thing, they drafted Marcus Mariota of the Oregon Ducks for their second pick in the NFL draft. So tell me how you assess the Tennessee Titans.
At first I was, I didn't have no hope for them, but, my biggest thing with them, I like a lot that, the Titans did was picking up Dick LeBlanc. I feel that, he can turn that defense around, and I think that'll make a big impact, especially in that conference. So I'm kind of looking at the defensive side of the ball. Offense, I'm still not sold on them. But, you know, their running game doesn't impress me. Shanky, just I don't have faith in him. Not too sure about Mariota. The receiver's still kind of shaky. They did get a good rookie, but just not sold on them. Not sold on them at all.
Yeah, let me start with the defense. You mentioned Dick LeBeau coming over from Pittsburgh. I thought he was, after he left the Steelers, I thought he was done. He thought he was going to call it a career. Yeah, I guess he pairs back up with head coach Ken Whisenhunt, who is the head coach, offensive guy. So you got one guy holding down the offense, pretty much the other guy holding down the defense. Now, starting with the defense, Devin McCourty is a brother. Jason McCourty is on the team at the cornerback. And then they got Paris Cox. Michael Griffin is the safety. Now, when I assess the Tennessee Titans, because I remember going when the Giants played there. As a Giants fan, we travel a lot. We were in Nashville, and we spoke to a lot of those Titan fans about their team, the makeup of the team, and they said that they needed character. That's the recurring theme from those season ticket holders out there in Nashville. When we went to the game, we talked to those Titan fans. We had a lot of conversation. Had a couple of beers, you know, chopped it up with them. But in a nutshell, they were pretty much crying for character. This team has no character. They kind of wanted the team kind of back what they had back in, 15 years ago with Eddie George, mm-hmm. Steve McNair, Frank Whitechett, those type of teams, Lorenzo Neal, Javon Curse. They wanted character. They always kept them referencing those type of teams because that team was the most successful team they have seen up to date. I think this is the type of team because of Dick LeBeau. And he's not going to be around much longer. Let me put that as a caveat. this is a start. They're rebuilding. We already know that. Your thoughts on the defense of Doom Radio as far as what they're bringing with that 3-4 defense with Dick LeBeau?
I think, you know, they got a conference, especially with Andrew Luck in there. You know, I feel that they wanted, you know, like you said, character. I think he's going to bring that kind of Steelers mentality, that toughness. Hopefully, you know, the 3-4, maybe we'll see some more, a lot more blitzing. I just don't, you know, they got a lot of free agents and everything, so it's going to be kind of weird with that. You know, like, you don't have, like, this in-house team that you built. You kind of just picked a bunch of pieces, and now you're trying to put it together, where they didn't, like, you know, draft or not, you know. So I like it because of Dick LeBeau. But outside of that, I got to see it, you know. It's preseason. We're not seeing too much. But, hey, I'm just really shaky on this team as a whole.
Yeah, I'm shaky as I am shaky with them as well, but I'm not as down as what they were bringing to the table last year. I think they could do okay, mainly because of the quarterback position, Marcus Mariota. I'm not really huge on Mariota, but I think he's better. He has a better feel for the game than Zach Mettenberg. I think Zach Mettenberg has the bigger arm, but I think Mariota is a more of a patient kind of smart. He's more of a smarter, I would say smarter player, but he just seems more in control of the action. Even as a rookie, I've seen a couple of the preseason games, and I see him at Oregon. And then, you know, that Oregon office they ran out there, and it's kind of gimmicky to a degree. And I think a lot of that's not going to translate over to the NFL because they're going to run more of a pro-style office. But as far as Mariota, I think some of the receivers that they brought over, like Harry Douglas from the Falcons and Kendall Wright is still there, Hakeem Nicks from the Colts. And now hopefully some of these guys are getting big they're auditioning for bigger contracts. So in that in itself, I think the tightest situation is average. Delanie Walker, he used to be on the 49ers, and this is like his third year as a Titan, maybe fourth is going up there. They have a left tackle who's going to his second year, Taylor Lewan from the University of Michigan. Let's see how he bounces back because I thought he kind of struggled at points last year with the Titans at left tackle. He's got it first year under the belt. See how that goes. Chance Warmack, he's a right guard, and he came over. He was drafted by, I believe, Alabama. I think it was Alabama. Mm-hmm. He came from Alabama. But the line is pretty young. I agree with you, man. Running backs. I mean, Dustin McCluster, he's more of a change of path third, like a Dave Meggett type of third down back. But there's nothing really with the run game that really will wow you. And it's going to put it's putting a lot of pressure on Mariota.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on Mariota. You know, and there, I believe this is something that's really interesting about the Titans also, though, is they're, like, I think, like, one of the youngest teams in the NFL right now. So that's kind of an upside. Like, as we're saying that, you know, they're building. I really like how you said, you know, they're trying to find that character. And I think this is the start of that character we might start seeing, like, with Mariota and, you know, just him going forward. I want to say that they're going to be a headache team, kind of. Not early, but later in the year. I could see them giving a lot of teams problems once they start clicking. But I think everybody, they might start off pretty bad, and people might kind of abandon them early. But then down the road, we'll see, like, them come together to be a better team.
But what about with them within the division? I mean, they're not really asked to ask for much, right? You think they could sneak a couple division wins as far as it's not like they're playing in a more competitive division, let's say, like the NFC West. They're kind of playing in – it's the Colts. It's really the Colts division to lose. We'll get to them in a second. But what about them versus the Jaguars? What about them versus the Houston Texans? How you think they match up against those type of teams? Because when you stack up division wins, you have a chance to get a wild card, right?
Yeah. I think – because of the run game, I do not see them matching up against the Texans well at all. I think that D-line is going to just eat them up. You know, once they get them one-dimensional, just throwing the ball, they're just going to just eat them alive. I don't think they'll stand a chance with them. They'll give the Colts a headache because the Colts defense still doesn't impress me. You know, they're definitely that, still kind of have that Peyton Manning look. You know, get up early and maintain the game. You know, don't give up the big play kind of thing. They still just don't have that defense. And so I think they'll be a little, give a headache to the Colts. And Jags, just flip a coin. I don't. It's going
to
be whoever.
We'll get to them in a few. If you had to put a scale, 1 out of 10 for the offense and the defense, what would you give that for the Tennessee Titans?
Because they have Mariota and I feel there's more upside than low, I'll give them a 6 for offense. And like I said, you know, with Dick LeBlanc on the defense end, I'll give him a 7 just because of respect for him. I just think he'll, you know, they're not going to be terrible, but, you know, they'll definitely be better than last year. Definitely be better than last year.
So how much better? How many game improvement?
I say at least 6 games. I'll give them 6. I even looked over at their schedule. They definitely have, you know, like, you know, they're playing the Jags twice. You know, that's going to help. And, you know, they might squeeze one here and there. I guess 6 games. 6 games sounds reasonable. Not even.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, 6 games.
Okay. Now, 1 out of 10 for me, the offense is a 5. Maybe because it's a run game and it's a combination of offensive line and a run game. It's a work in progress. It's not that these guys are bad; they're young. They're still trying to find themselves in the league. But the running back position, that definitely needs to be addressed. They never really fully replaced Chris Johnson once he left, and of course you're going with the rookie quarterback. So and then also the defense. The coordinator doesn't make tackles. He doesn't make interceptions.
Yeah.
He did at one point as a player, but he's a coordinator. So he's not going to be out there on the field. You have a lot of new guys on defense trying to find their way. I like the front 3-4 with Sammy Hill on that line. But then if you line up a Arapo, but Arapo's been injury prone and he's trying to find himself, trying to get back into the groove once left the Redskins and now over to the Tennessee Titans. The secondary is okay, but I give the defense a 6, maybe a 7 on his best day. But what to their advantage, they do play in the South. I can expect at least splits. Maybe they, at best they could go 3 out of 4 between the Texans and the Jaguars. I'm not sure if they're going to even beat the Colts. But well, that's it for the on the Tennessee Titans. And we'll definitely see where did we how we pair them within the rest of the division. Let's on to the Houston Texans. You know, the Houston Texans, your boy, Big Vince is on that team, man. He came over from the Patriots and got Raheem Moore and Keem Dinn, and they got Chris Polk from the Eagles. They signed my safety, Stevie Brown, from the Giants, and they ended up getting Brandon Diedrich, and, of course, they added, you know, trying to get Jadeveon Clowney back. Are we ever going to see Jadeveon Clowney come off that pup list, man?
I don't, man. I mean... I don't know, man. Like, if he can be healthy, that defensive line would just be ridiculous. Because J.J. Watt is an animal.
I definitely
want to
see him.
I know.
I want to see how this defense would be, man.
And it sucks because they could be so much. They can be, like, you know, they have a defensive line to just give Luck nightmares. And even with just J.J., he's doing it alone. And if you put Clowney on the other side, oh, my goodness. And now with Vince in the middle, you know, I don't think he's going to be a every down D tackle. But, you know, he's just going to clog the hole. It just, oh, man. I love J.J. Watt. So,
it starts and ends with J.J. Watt, the defensive juggernaut that he is. This is the Hard Knocks team this year, I believe. Houston Texans is the Hard Knocks thing they got going on each year on HBO, and this Houston Texans featuring them. This team, when I think of the Houston Texans, usually when you think of, like let's say you think about the Patriots, the first thing you comes to mind is Tom Brady. You think of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You think of the Colts or like let's Andrew Luck or the Broncos, is Peyton Manning, but it's not, I would say it's not normal, but it's one of those things where when you first think of Houston Texans, the first thing is not a quarterback or even a running back. It's a defensive lineman. It's J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
He is the heart and soul of this thing, man. So let's talk about his impact on defense and just as how he makes everybody around him better.
I mean, you can't – number one, you can't solo him. You have to get help. So, I mean, he's just a headache to any coordinator because you got to come up with schemes. You got to – do you want to run at him? Do you want to roll away from him? Do you want to roll your pocket away? You know, I mean, I can only understand how much prep has to go into, like, trying to avoid him. So just good luck with that. He puts his hands up a lot, knocks down a lot of balls. It's incredible how many balls he knocks down. And like I said, it's this defense starts with him. And he makes the rest of the defense better. It's crazy to say that all about one person, but he does it. He's, like you said, he's a juggernaut. He had, what, 8 touchdowns last year? Like 3 defensive, 5 offensive? I mean, what kind of defensive lineman has those kind of stats? You're talking about his touchdowns. Are you serious? Like, you know what I mean? He's special, man. He's definitely something special. I think he's only his 4th year in the league too, so he's still young. I like it, and Texans are actually my favorite in this conference, to be honest with you.
You mean the division? You mean pick him to go to the
division? Sorry.
Oh, division. Okay. Pick him to go to the Super Bowl. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll take your bet. I'll take that bet any day. He said, the Super Bowl. I'll take him to the Super Bowl. All right, give me the money. You know what? It's a domino. Certain guys could create a domino effect because you got to double team J.J. Watt. That frees up other defensive linemen, run stuffing guys like Vince Wilfork, who may still have a little bit left in the tank. I'm not exactly sure about him. But the linebackers, they're okay. With John Simon, Brian Cushion, I believe he's coming off an injury again. I don't know if he's even going to last in the season, but I like the fact that they have a decent secondary like Kareem Jackson, Stevie Brown, Jonathan Joseph, who got the contract extension, and Raheem Moore, because these guys are decent enough to stay on their assignments, their zone coverages, or even on the outside D up on the outside. They even give the defensive lineman even an extra time to get to the quarterback, or even if they feel like they want to send in the blitz or sending quarterback blitzes. They do that a lot too, sending in special blitzes and stuff like that. Now we already know with the quarterback. Brian Hoyer coming over from the Cleveland Browns. Now, how critical is this going to be with the absence of Arian Foster? Now, Arian Foster, to me, is a guy who's effective when he's healthy, but he just seems like he can never stay healthy for a full season. What about Alfred Blue, or what about Chris Polk and even Jonathan Grimes? The ability to like sustain the run game behind Dwayne Brown, he's an all-pro left tackle for them, and Ben Jones. But what you think about the offensive line and even the running backs? And even if you want to talk about the receivers too, is Cecil Shorts coming over for Jacksonville also?
I like their offense. I kind of was going for Mallett. You know, I like his big arm. I thought that really would have opened everything up for that offense. But their running game, you know, without Foster, I still kind of believe in it. Blue always did really well when he filled in for Foster the past 2 years. I think, you know, like, they got a good defensive line. I mean, not defense. I'm all off this day. A good offensive line. And I think they can push it. I think that they can push it. I really like my boy DeAndre Hopkins. I like him a lot. I think he's going to blow up a lot now that Johnson is gone. So I'm really looking forward. I think he can really light it up and, you know, kind of like stretch the field to open up some running games, some underneath stuff with the running back. So I like this. Like I tell you, I really, really – I think they're going to knock off the Colts. I just think they have everything they need to do it.
Okay, so you have DeAndre Hopkins as your number one receiver. I know Nate Washington came over from the Titans. I think that's the name I forgot to mention to when we discussed the Titans. But he's on the Titans now. I disagree. Not to say you're right or wrong, or say I'm right or wrong, but it's a new offense. You're talking about if I had to compare the quarterbacks, and we'll get to the Colts when we get to them. But you're talking about Andrew Luck versus Brian Hoyer. I don't know if I could see Brian Hoyer in his first year with Bill O'Brien, who's going to be on him to get it done. It's just too new for these guys. Defensively, I think these guys are going to keep these guys in the game. I have questions about the defense keeping them in the game. I do question Arian Foster going down because I think he's so effective, man. He's such a game-changing offensive threat for them that Alfred Blue is okay for the fill-in, kind of like what Ben Tate was when he was there before he left for Cleveland. But DeAndre Hopkins, I know he can stretch the field, but it's going to be real curious to see how he does, knowing that their best all-time wide receiver in history is no longer on the team, who's on a division rival. That's going to be interesting to see on television when those two teams match up. But I think he's still going to be effective. I still think he's going to be a deep threat. I just can't see him as a number one. Not that it really matters, because it's really about Brian Hoyer game managing his team and just not messing up. Because the defense is going to do what they're going to do, keep them in games, man. What's your thoughts as far as how the offense needs to attack the opposing defenses?
You know, now that, you know, Foster is going to be in and out, I would say, you know, put the ball in his hands, get that box filled up, and then attack him in the air. But now I think like with Blue and these guys, hopefully seeing how they catch out the backfield, because that's something else Foster was really good at, was catching out the backfield. I think they might give a little too much. I think these guys won't be all around like him. So if you see, like, say, a Polkin, you know, they might be like, okay, look out for this. You know, like, it kind of makes him a little bit one-dimensional. And Hoyer, I was really rooting for Mallett. And Hoyer scares me a bit. I know he's up and down. And like you said, I really – he has to try not to mess up. That's his, like, goal.
He's
don't
got
mess
game
up. But the,
yeah, he's
yeah.
got a game manage.
So
definitely got a game manage. So you got to put a scale on it, 1 to 10, offense, defense for the Houston Texans, then we go on to our next team.
Defense, 8. I give him an 8 because it really relies a lot on J.J. Watt. And that's good and bad because if he has a bad game, it'll affect the whole defense. And if he just does J.J. Watt, it, you know, their defense will be normal and disgusting. And offense, I'm giving him a 7. Even though I'm praising him a lot, like you said, I really think a lot of it is going to be the defense that will carry this team through the season.
Okay, and for me, the offense for the Houston Texans, I'm going to give them a 6. I just don't see them lighting up the scoreboard. I think they're more built for game managing. They don't have no DeAndre Hopkins is a nice player. I think he's going to be the focus to be double-teamed. Other guys are going to have to step up, and I don't think those guys are going to. And as far as defensively, I definitely give them an 8. They're definitely not a 9. No team in the NFL is a 10. Maybe maybe a 10, but outside of that, not a lot of 10s out there. We say 10s are all-time defenses, or if you're a 10 on offense, you're all-time offenses. But for the defense, I will give them an 8. And I think that a lot of it has to do with J.J. Watt. Now, if Jadeveon Clowney comes back, I mean, I need to see him for a full season, though.
Yeah.
But if I had to project it, that defense could be a 9. If the linebackers can stay healthy, too. I mean, everything has to be healthy for them to even be a 9. So that's how I see them. Let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jags, man, the head coach from the defense, Gus. You got Gus over there running the things over there in Jacksonville. This is an interesting team. This is an interesting team as far as the guys who they drafted late. For instance, Dante Fowler, unfortunately, he's out for the year, and that sucks, man. I mean, you're a team who wasn't that good, and I can't really knock them because they beat my team last year. But you got the draft pick pretty much you needed, and he's gone for the year. And guys like Richard Ash, Marcel Jensen, and then you brought up guys like Desmond Cooper, Marcel Jensen, and then on Cecil Shorts, he's now on the division. He's on the he's the wide receiver for the Jaguars. Now he's on the Texans. It starts with your quarterback, your boy from Central Florida.
Yep. Bortles.
What's your thoughts as far as the Jaguars? Their makeup offensively and defensively.
Just like you said, the Flowers thing really sucked. I really thought that was a step in the right direction for them, because their defense did get better last year. They started off horrible. I mean, they were giving up the first 3 games. They gave up over 40 points, and as the year went on, it got lower and lower. So to see him get Flowers and now he's gone, I wanted to see how much that really would have helped. But I do like their offense because it's young. I like their offense because it's young. They picked up T.J. Yeldon this year in the draft. So now they got their so-called 3-down back. Bortles, I like him. He has all the tools to be a really good pro quarterback. But the thing that's, to me, holding back their offense still is their offensive line. I know they tried to address it. Hopefully it's a way better than last year because they gave up a lot of tip balls coming out of Bortles' hands. He got rushed a lot, which I felt led to a lot of his interceptions. And so definitely their offensive line is going to be what you got to look out for the Jags to see if how well they're going to do on offense. Defense?
Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. That was it. Yeah.
No. Say it. What's up with the defense?
That's their defense. Yeah. It's just like, ugh.
Okay, all right, let's look at the offensive line. Let's see, who the hell is on that offensive line? It's a lot of no-name guys. The guys that stand out, like, let's see, who's on there? Brandon Linder. You have Luke Joxel. And then you had, who else was on? The guy who came over from Dallas, Parnell. I mean, there's a lot of annoying guys. I mean, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right as far as the Alabama running back, T.J. Yeldon. The backup, his backup is going to be the guy from the quarterback from Michigan, Denard Robinson. He's converted quarterback, now running back, in that failed experiment called Toby Gerhart. Came over as Adrian Peterson's backup. That never panned out. He got paid, but that never really panned out. Now, you think they're going to run a lot of two tight end offenses, Seth? Knowing Mercedes Lewis probably has a little bit left in the tank, and then signed a 5-year contract with Julian Thomas, came over from Denver. You think you probably see a lot of those looks offensively, because you know the wide receiver is not going to scare you with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. See, I remember Allen Hurns; he had a big game, first game of the year last season versus the Eagles, and then he sputtered out. And then you have Marquise Lee from USC, but. Because of the wide receivers, the core ain't strong enough. You think you're going to see a lot of two double tight end sets, especially when Julius Thomas gets healthy, because I know he's out right now as we do this recording. But well, what's your thoughts as far as offensively with the looks for Blake Bortles?
You know, now that you brought that up, I didn't even think of that. And that could really help their offensive line with two tight ends. Because they'll just keep in some big packages. They could probably keep one in to block, one go out. So you'll have that whole chess game going where it's like who's staying in, who's going out. Could definitely open up, you know, for the receivers, especially with Grant once he comes back. But like I said, it's to me, the biggest thing is still – it's the offensive line. They gotta keep those D line and linebackers. Everybody, they gotta get their hands on them and not let them too many tip balls. And you know, even with a two tight end set, and I think you're right. We will see a lot of that because Lewis, you know, he was always supposed to be this guy that can, you know, blow up, but he never really did. Due to the fact that they were going through just being like the terrible Jacksonville Jaguars. Why he's been there. But hopefully, you know, it will definitely open things up. And, you know, maybe it might be a key focus of that offense with, you know, just like you said, man, their receivers aren't the best, but, you know, hopefully somebody emerges this year. That's like, you know, and they're young. So hopefully they get it together.
Mm-hmm. And then I look at the defensive front. I know Chris Clemons comes over from Seattle a couple seasons ago in the offseason. They still have Andre Branch. Then they got I actually saw some of the game versus the Giants over the weekend in the preseason. I know you don't want to take too much into account. But Ziggy Hood, who came over from Pittsburgh, was kind of manhandling our weak offensive line for the Giants. I think they're okay there. Then you add in the linebacker, the Buffalo linebacker, the Polish guy, Polisny. I can't even never pronounce it. Paul Polisny. I think he got another extension for his contract. And then, of course, they had the no-name secondary. The only guy I really know is the dude who came over from Indianapolis. That was Sergio Brown. Everybody else... the cornerback. What's his name? From Green Bay. He went over there, too. He got the contract. Devon House. He was in the secondary for the Packers. He got his paper, too, to come over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But just to me, defense, I know they lost a couple of guys. J.C. Thomas went over to the Giants. But they're young, but they're inexperienced doing radio. I don't have a lot of faith at all in this defense at all to get it done, not even within the own division. I think some a little bit with the front four. I think when you rotate Aubrey Jones and Ziggy Hood, Roy Miller, but then you have Chris Clemons and then Andre Branch. I don't know, man. I really don't know, because once you get past that, I mean, if these guys are going to get banged up, I don't know how much they're going to have left in the tank. What about you as far as defensively with these guys?
Yeah, I'm going to start off, you know, Flowers gone, big, just a big hole.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know if he's going to pan out or not. But, you know, it was just, you know, you're kind of like, you know, okay, they're going to step in the right direction. but, you know, they immediately went backwards. Like you said, very just no-name-ish, very inexperienced. They're young, but I think that will be a problem for the defense. They make a lot of mistakes. People, like, I mean, there were so many, especially early last year, so many wide-open people down the field. And, yeah, they're not going to be a threat, really, to defensively. If anything, I would say this team, if anything's going to carry them, it's going to be the offense. And I don't think it's going to carry them that far at all.
Yeah.
Like, unless TJ Yeldon, like, blows up. It's like,
no, I don't see that. I definitely don't see that. Give us a rating for the offense and the defense. 1 out of 10 for both.
I'll go 6 on both sides.
Give me a yeah. That sounds about right. I was going to say 7 for the defense. I just think they're not there, man. I think elite teams are going to score at will on these guys, and the offense is lacking wide receiver. Star power, and that's because a lot of that, what they invested in Justin Blackman, who came over from Oklahoma State, that just definitely did not pan out, man. He was just that whole situation with him is the disaster, man. Just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks, man. That kind of sets your franchise back a couple years, knowing that you put that first round pick into a guy that you thought he was going to pan out and just never did. He's not even in the league, man. That sucks for them. So I agree with you, man, on that. Then let's get into the Colts. We already know it's Andrew Luck, Chuck Pagano, the office coordinator, the dude from Stanford. You know, same coordinator as Andrew Luck when he's in college.
I know you're talking about the name.
I didn't forget his name.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about the Colts, man. It looks like Colts is like, when I look at the Colts, it's like it seems like it's a makeup of a team of guys who've been in the league for so long, from whatever team they came from, and they all just piled into Indianapolis all at once. I mean, you got long time, like almost Hall of Fame type guys, Andre Johnson. You got Frank Gore, Trent Cole, Todd Harriman. I mean, they added a whole bunch of guys, like very good professional players. Who were one time just, you know, good with their former teams, and they all converged onto Indianapolis. I don't know how you feel as far as the Indianapolis Colts, but, you know, it all starts with Andrew Luck. So what's your thoughts as far as offensively for the Colts, defensively for the Colts? We know they're loaded, but tell us your thoughts, Doom Radio.
I mean, like you said, Andrew Luck, it's just like a give me. He has weapons everywhere now, man. He has two guys that can stretch the field now. Then he has Andre Johnson, who's going to be, I think, an awesome position player for them. Receiver, I should say. Frank Gore, I don't think I'm going to say Gore will be the starter. I'm not too sure about that, but I think they have a decent backfield. So, and Gore's just going to add to it. So,
Who would start? Who's the other running back? Who's starting for him?
I mean, I'm just looking at how old he is. You know, that's the only reason I say he's not going to start. I mean, I wouldn't know who would start over him.
He's out to lose.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he can stay a three down back, I think he's 31, 32.
Nah, I'm not saying all that. I'm not saying he's a three down back. I say he's starting.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to play a lot. He's going to get his snaps. But I'm not saying he's three down. No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a nice backfield. And, like, just with Andrew Luck, I mean, the dude's going to put the ball in the air. He's going to have ridiculous stats this year. I know T.Y. Hilton, I think he wasn't too excited when they drafted the receiver early on, but I think it might open it up for him. I think it's going to be something. I mean, it's Andrew Luck, man. Dude is just a beast. And I just, you know, definitely a playoff team without a doubt. I'm not sold on their defense, though. I just think their defense is still too weak. I think they're not weak, soft. I feel like they're too soft.
Mm-hmm. Let me start with their offense, mm-hmm. with the position players. I think Frank Gore has a lot left in the tank. Well, I say a lot, but he has enough left in the tank to get the job done for what they want to do, because he doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense like he was mm-hmm. in San Francisco. You had a game plan against Frank Gore, and he's probably the fourth option on offense on his team. I mean, you know, you run a double tight end sets with Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, and then you got to come back and defend T.Y. Hilton, who got the huge contract. And DeAndre Johnson is like your second option at wide receiver with Moncrief and Philip Dorsett. I mean, you are stacked at wide receiver. You're stacked at tight end. He is literally probably the last option on offense coming out of a passing offense if he's coming out of the basket. You can't defend this offense. It's really going to be harder to defend this offense, man. It really is. You got to really hope for Andrew Luck to be turnover prone, which he is. If you're going to beat Andrew Luck, you got to force turnovers because he throws a lot of interceptions. He's a smart player, a good player, but throws a lot of interceptions. Now, I agree with you as far as the defense is still soft, but I think you know, Eric Walden, who came over from Green Bay a season ago, DeQuell Jackson, when they got him from Cleveland. And then they added Trent Cole, who came over from Philadelphia. Arthur Jones from Baltimore. I mean, they got some guys, man. They got some guys. Mm-hmm. I think there's still some players away on defense that's going to keep them from where they need to get to. I mean, Vontae Davis, the Miami corner. You know, it's a lot a lot of things that guys they have that's the Achilles heel on this team, hands down, bar none. Do you think that 3-4 defense the Colts are bringing to the table every Sunday is going to get it done in playoff time? And I say playoff time because I think they have a lot to get through that division. But as far as the playoffs, mm-hmm. now you don't even have them as divisional winner. You have Houston, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So explain yourself.
I when I think of the Colts, I think of, you know, this high-flying offense, but I always think of them, like, as being this clean team. Like, they're not – their defense is not in-your-face, nasty, going to smack you. You know, they're, like, these pretty boy defense almost. Like, you know, they want to get up. You know, they want to contain you kind of thing. They don't really want to get at you. You know, they want you to pass the ball so that they can come at you, so they know what you're doing. But once teams start running it down their face, it's just they get just steamrolled, man. People just bully them. I feel like I just always imagine them with clean jerseys. Is that like, you know, like to me that's bad. You should be dirty. You know, you're playing football, and I mean honestly, they play, you know, 8 games in a dome, but you know, they're clean, man. They're not nasty. I don't feel like they're hungry. I don't know, they don't scare me. Their defense does not scare me. I just think their defense is very soft.
I agree with you, because the reason why I say that, I reference that playoff game they had a couple of seasons ago where their offense came back and won the game, but they played Kansas City at home, mm-hmm. and Jamal Charles was even playing, like Alex Smith put up, 44, 43 points on them in that dome. Mm-hmm. And it's like if the offense don't score points, this team doesn't win. I mean, of course, that's basic logic. You know, you got to outscore your opponent. But the point is their defense gives up a lot of points. And you know what mm-hmm. happened to them. Deflated footballs are not in New England. It didn't even matter. They could have been playing with Nerf footballs. They could have been playing with tennis balls. That defense, you're right. It's like it's like Madden easy. It's like you could score on them at will. They have players that came over from other teams. I think they're bulking up for the pass rush, but that's about it, man. What about Andrew Luck, man? Like, is he going to take the next step to be that great quarterback that everybody, fans, media, projecting him to be?
Yeah, I he's still going to get 10 wins. He hasn't had under 10 wins. He's been in the playoffs every year. I mean, just so far in his young career, he's just outstanding. You can't take anything from him. I just think he's plagued with a very soft defense, and, you know, he doesn't play both sides of the ball. Like you said, you know, it's everything's on him. And I think, you know, that's a little too much, especially, you know, him being, this is, what, fourth year now in the league? I mean,
yeah,
you want to put everything on your four-year quarterback almost. It's like that's a lot of pressure. I mean, he's been doing it. He's been doing it since he's there. But I think that's why they can't step up to the Super Bowl. I think that's the issue. You know, it's too much of one side of the ball. They need to find that, you know, balance of that defense doing more than just containing and maintaining the game. They got to get up. You know, I'm looking at a thing where Jay Cutler jukes the defense and then steamrolls over the guy to get in the end zone. Like, you got quarterbacks bullying your defense. I mean, they're soft.
So give us a 1 out of 10 with 1 out of 10 offense to defense.
Oh, offense, a 9. I mean, it's, like I said, like you said, man, they're loaded everywhere. Running back, receivers, tight end, and then Andrew Luck. Defense, I'm giving 6. I'm giving them 6 because they're soft, man. They're soft. I don't think they're going to – I think they're going to struggle against the run. And I think that's what's going to give them a lot of their losses when they have to come across some strong running offenses. I think they're going to just steamroll right over them.
Yeah, I too agree with that, man. We're pretty much in agreement to these division by divisions, how we rate these teams, how we see things. Offensively, they're definitely a 9. They're not an all-time great scoring offense, but as far as this season, they're definitely top 3 offensively. They're loaded. They could give you multiple looks. They deep threats. They got Hall of Famers on that team who still have a little bit left in the tank. They don't even have to be the main guy. Defensively, I'm with you. They're soft. But even with that said, I still give them a great chance to make the AFC Championship game as they did last year. But how would you rank the AFC South? Like, what would you do as far as 1 through 4 in that division? Colts, Texans, Jags, and the Titans. How did they finish?
I'm going to go with Texans winning it. Mm-hmm. Colts getting in wild card. I think they're going to be a 2 playoff team division. And then you're going to have the Titans and then the Jaguars.
I would like to put a $50 bet to that. I would go Colts, Texans, Titans, Jaguars. Colts win. Not only Colts win the division, they win. They're number one team in the conference, and I will put that bet on it. Even with that weak defense. So if you want to put that bet on it, let me know. Doing radio, we can go from there.
All right, I like that.
Official on the air, you heard it first. Late August, Doing Radio Bleed Blue Show puts that bet on the AFC South. So let's move on to the NFC South. I am intrigued by this division. And as mediocre as it was last year, this is a division that we could really – I wish we had another hour to really break it down. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You already know Jameis Winston, the number one quarterback on that team. Now, even watching a little bit of their preseason performance thus far versus Minnesota, even versus Cincinnati on Monday night, Jameis Winston looked good. He looked better in game 2 in preseason game number 2 versus a good Bengals defense. And they added some guys, added some pieces like Henry Melton, Bruce Carter, and Sterling Moore. I don't know, for whatever reason they signed Chris Conte. I don't even know how he even still has a job in the NFL. He was terrible last year in Chicago. He was terrible. I don't know why. It must be nepotism between Lovie Smith and that Bears organization. And then you got guys like Quan Alexander, Kenny Bell. What's your thoughts as far as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We know that they needed a quarterback. Not that Mike Glennon from North Carolina State was all that bad, but Jameis Winston, Famous Jameis, Florida State, mm-hmm. wins games. That's all he does for the most part. What's your thoughts as far as the Buccaneers?
I got to say this first. I got Bucs are my favorite in this division. I think their okay. offense is just loaded. I mean, their offensive line loaded. Is going to be, their question mark for that offense. And if those guys, keep it together and they keep everybody off of Winston, I love Evans and V-Jack as his receivers. I think that if he can get the ball to them and keep it going, I think they're going to light people up. I love that.
Now, let me ask you this. What about those wide receivers that you mentioned? Let's say one of those guys get nicked up, injuries happen in this league. You think they mm-hmm. can still win a division or say the sustaining one of those guys stay healthy? What's your thoughts?
If it's Jackson that gets injured and it's on Evans, I think they can still go, they can go through the year with high hopes to keep, that division run. But if it's the other way around, I think that it'll be a little bit more troublesome. And that's just because Jackson's getting up there in age. That's the only reason I say it like that. I mean, it looks like Doug Martin's actually going to be playing this year. We'll see. He hasn't really done much since his rookie season. He's been injured a lot and everything. So hopefully he can get back to form. Mike James, I believe he was hurt too. He's all right. So their running backs are definitely probably the weakest out of that offense. But I really like Winston. Like I said, I love Winston. I love his receivers, and I think they can really do a lot of damage, especially they play.
I don't know, man. I'm not seeing eye to eye with you with Tampa Bay as you are. Mm-hmm. And really because I look at the offense, I know your boy got traded last season. Logan Mankins came over from the Patriots mm-hmm. when they traded for him. I think it was with the Revis trade, I believe. And then they got Dietrich Smith from Green Bay, and then Patrick Omame, and who was it, Garrett Gilkey from Cleveland. Now, see, the wide receivers is cool. I'm cool with that. Vincent Jackson, he's 6'5", and he stretches the field as does Mike Evans. Mike Evans is kind of almost a carbon copy of him. But I agree with you about the running backs because Doug Martin's injury prone. He had the ACL injury. He had did great things in his rookie year, but coming back off the ACL, I just don't believe. I'm not a big believer in the running backs with Bobby Rainey and Mike James. They had got Austin Seferian Jenkins last year in the draft, and then they had the. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember. Time flies. And then Brandon Myers, when he came over from my team, the Giants. But I think Jameis Winston definitely gives them some sort of respectability. He's staying healthy. I've heard a lot of reports, especially how the teams kind of rally behind him. He's somewhat vocal leader, but he doesn't have to be the main guy. He just has to do his job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. If Winston doesn't pan out, I think the team will kind of crumble, especially offensive-wise. I like Lovie Smith, and I'm putting a lot of faith in him with that defense. I think he's really going to turn that defense around this year. I liked what he did in Chicago. I'm putting it on. I think he's going to make them, meaner, tougher, back to, almost that Bucks, the 2000 Bucks where they had Sapp and all those guys. They're not going to be that great, but I think the attitude will start getting there. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to get that mentality, but they're not going to have the skill, obviously. Because that team was just ridiculous.
I don't know about that, man. Because we're talking about. I mean, they got some decent players. When I think about the Bucks defense, the first two names that really jump out of mind is Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle. Then, of course, Lavonte David, the linebacker, who got a big contract not too long ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it's been about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was like a week or two ago.
I know they got Bruce Carter, who's a decent linebacker who played for the Dallas Cowboys. Major Wright came over from Chicago. If you're talking about a Bucs, that Bucs defense is an all-time defense. That's a 10, man. You're talking. We have to do a separate podcast on just respecting, just out of respect to them, to do a special podcast on that Bucs defense. That was a great defense, man. This team ain't that, but I guess I understand what you're saying. To a degree, as far as trying to get back to that, they're a long way from that, man. They got to literally with that Bucks defense when they were making those drafts, they were putting everything into the defense. Everything went into the defense. Draft, free agency, that took years. They're a long ways away from that, and because the NFL is somewhat different now, all the draft picks and free agents went to the defensive side, I'd be with you on as far as Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay, that offense 15 years ago was pedestrian at best. They're game managers. Game managers.
Mm-hmm.
These are better. They're better game breakers on this offense than that team, but the defense, that team is an all-time defense. Gerald McCoy, he's a stud, man. He's off the chain, man. And, of course, Lavonte David, he's all over the place back there in that second level, man. But now I can understand where you're coming from, doing radio. The shot at the NFC North. Why them for the NFC North?
Why? I think Saints are on decline still. I believe they're getting up there in age. They traded away Graham. And the Saints don't scare me that much. They're a home team, a dome team. You love talking about that. I've taken that from you big time in talking shows now. Is definitely a dome team. You take them outside and you just whip up on them. Panthers, Kelvin's gone for
the
season.
Oh, yeah, good point. I forgot about that. Good point.
I mean,
we'll get to them. We'll get to them.
Yeah. So, I was already saying this with him there, but now I'm like, without, with Benjamin gone, I'm like, it's kind of like just helping them out. And Atlanta, I think they're like, I know they had like a pretty damn good draft, but offensive wise, yeah, I don't know. It's another dome team. I just feel like, you take the Falcons or Saints outside of their dome. I just feel like they get whipped up on. I just feel like they're a whole different team outside. And I think that's why the Bucks can take it, because they play outside. I look at them as a tougher team in the division, and I think they have, the offense and defense, probably the best balanced team in the division. I think that's why I like them.
All right, give us a 1 out of 10 offensive defense for the Buccaneers.
I'm going to give them just straight, like I just said, their balance, and I'm going to go 7-7. Even though I say I really like the offense, but it's a rookie quarterback. He really has to prove himself. People are going to throw a lot at him. But I think he has the ability to shine this year because of the weapons he has around him. And defense, I'm going to give it a 7-2 I like Lovie Smith. I think they're going to have a great mentality. They're going to be, like, in your face. But I don't, like you said, I don't think they're there yet to be that 8-9, like, just hardcore stud defense that Lovie wants them to be yet.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I agree. 7 is across the board, offense and defense. I'm gonna reserve my pick for them, how they rank in the division, at the end of this podcast, because I want to discuss the other teams, and we'll get to them. I'll get to them on my pick. Let's go on to the New Orleans Saints, the Who Dat Nation. So as you said, they're head coached by Sean Payton. Drew Brees is the quarterback on their team. I know they had an interesting trade. We discussed it on the AFC West, NFC West divisional by division podcast with Jimmy Graham going to Seattle, and in exchange they got the center Matt Unger coming back from Seattle. Curtis Lawton is no longer on the team. He's a he went out west. They added C.J. Spiller. I know they're trying to get that swing back, kind of like a Darren Sproles type of role or Reggie Bush type of player, because they need that in that dome. They got rid of their running back, Pierre Thomas, but I know they're still trying to make do what it do with Mark Ingram, the running back from Alabama, who actually I thought he did some okay things. He had some good run games. Mm-hmm. Ran hard. I think he definitely tried. They extended Jerry Evans a contract, and they got Kyle Wilson from the Jets. I mean, I don't know. This team is not the same. It's not definitely not the Saints of, let's say, the last 10 seasons. They definitely regret. Now, they have a lot of new coaches. I know Dennis Allen's on that staff. They added new receivers coach, I believe, and linebackers coach. I think the bounty gate thing kind of screwed that franchise up for a little bit for what it was. What's your thoughts as far as the Saints, what they're bringing to the table offensively, defensively? Is there anything you like, dislike? I remember Jerry Bird came over from Buffalo a season ago, and but those guys are getting banged up too, man. So I think they've been popped. So what's your thoughts on the Saints?
What happened to them? You know, I mean, like, they're aging, man. I think that's what it is. They're just aging, especially that offense. I mean, Breeze, I just recently saw something on Breeze where his numbers are going down every year. Like, they're dropping, like, the past 5 years. His stats have been slowly decreasing.
But he's still a top 10. Would you say he's a top 10 quarterback in his league, even with the decline?
Oh, yeah.
That's what that matters, right?
Yeah,
still matters, though.
And I think most of the decline is just due more towards, his aging receivers, they got rid of Kenny Stills. But Cooks looks amazing. He torched the Patriots earlier this weekend.
He just torched them.
Even Bill Belichick said he's happy that he doesn't have to play the Saints because he didn't have to deal with Cooks. So, I mean, that's a good, a bright spot. They got rid of Graham, as we know. Colson's not getting younger. I like Mark Ingram. I do like Mark Ingram, but his problem is he's good when he plays, but, he gets injured a lot. He'll miss a week here, then he'll play, but then he misses the next week. It's like every game he plays, it's almost like he misses one. So, if he can be healthy, that will help him a lot because he's a good runner. He helps them a lot. I feel when it comes to their defense, I feel like Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
I like the Ryans a lot, but I feel like he doesn't have what he needs to run his defense there. And it's almost like, trying to ride a bike with, like, one wheel. He doesn't have what he needs to make that defense what it could be. And I think that's why the defense is just not that great there, and he hasn't made the biggest impact there is because of the personnel, defensive-wise.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you, Matt. I think they're missing a lot of pieces. I know they had drafted Andrews Pete from Stanford. The offensive line, even getting back Max Unger, who's a Pro Bowl center. They still need help because they have Lolito and then Terran Armstead. I think Zach Strief is still there trying to groom Andrews Pihui, but I might have the ability to start at right tackle. But offensively, it's definitely not the same. Like the Saints of like the last 10 years, it's like when you used to play games in that dome, they were gonna run you out the building. It just seemed like every time you went there, for like the last 10 years, before last season though, but when they were in their peak, you went to that building, you got ran out of the dome, man. You were getting bombed on. That feeling is no longer there, man. Because a lot of the skilled players, some of them are still there, but they either age or the guys have just gone to greener pastures to get paid. The running back situation with Mark Ingram, he's going to get injured. Kai Robinson, he's going to fill in. They got C.J. Spiller kind of be that Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush type of role. The tight end, I mean, the biggest threat they had, they traded Jimmy Graham. You're really gonna sell me on Jimmy Graham and replace him with Benjamin Watson? Are you serious? you can't sell me on that. You definitely can't sell me on that. And all this was because of the salary casualty, because Drew Brees would not restructure his contract. And because of that, it's been a domino effect of just been a fire sale, just getting rid of players. And I mean, you got rid of your best player, Jimmy Graham. That's ridiculous. Man, you can't. And that's just the offense, not the defense. Remember they had Ellerby. He came over from Miami. He was on the Baltimore Ravens. The safety situation, and Vinny Vicario, he's coming off an injury. But and Jarius Byrd, he's going to be. Yeah. Going to be pup or whatever. But the situation with these guys, the defense is not good, man. But I ain't believing in this Rod Ryan defense, man. I'll be honest with you.
Nah, yeah, I gotta say I'm not too much on I think, you know, one thing that's going to hurt the defense, and it sounds good, is Browner. You know, left the Patriots, went to the Saints for money. But he's infamous for defensive holding. He's a physical guy. And a defense that's not that great, and now you're giving free first downs, I mean, it's not the, you know, most ideal thing. It's what is it called? It's just going to hurt their defense. I mean, it's going to hurt the team, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to spend much time on them. I just don't. They have a. I mean, a lot of these. This is probably the only division where you could put any of the four teams up there, and they could finish at any slot, 1 through 4. I mean, the Saints probably could go first. They could go last. Same with the Buccaneers, even the Panthers. I mean, it takes just one key injury, and all these teams are screwed. So, offensively, defensively for the Saints, as far as ranking them, because Breeze is, I would say Breeze, I don't want to say Breeze is Breeze. Breeze is still, he's the catalyst. He's going to throw some interceptions, but they're going to have to, they always rely on his arm to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think offensively, this team scares me. Once Jimmy Graham was gone, I'm like, damn, man, you're crazy, man. Y'all bugging. And then defensively, I see teams putting up a lot of points on this defense. I don't care what Ryan's doing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if it's Buddy Ryan. His defense ain't all that good. His guys are too hurt.
Yeah.
Brandon Browner coming over from England. I know he got his paper, but Bird, I think he's been pupped. And Vicario's coming off an injury. I'm not a believer in this defense, man. Kevin Williams coming from Seattle. I'm not a big guy. Defense, man. What about you, man? Rank them offensively and defensively, man.
Defense, I'm going to give them 8. You got Breeze, you got Cooks, a healthy Ingram right now. Offense. Defense, I'm giving them 5. Like I said, I have no faith in that defense at all. Like you said, I think they're going to give up a lot. I think they're going to have multiple losses at home this year. I would say 3 losses at home. Just due to the fact of their defense.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see that. I actually would score their offense even lower than you, even with Breeze. I think this is 7, and then their defense is a strong 5, man. I just, I'm not sold. And they're not going to even finish no higher than third in that division. We'll get to my rankings at the conclusion of this podcast. Let's move on to the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons. What's your thoughts as far as Atlanta Falcons, what they're bringing to the table this year? I know they got the new head coach coming over from Seattle, Quinn, because the Mike Smith regime after the Mike Vick disaster, and he had his little run for 7-8 seasons in Atlanta, Mike Smith. Now they move on to a defensive-minded coach. They released some of the dead weight like Steven Jackson, Jonathan Massaquoi, Justin Blaylock, and Harry Douglas. Those guys are gone. I mean, they did draft Vic Beasley from Clemson. They expect to do things in that 3-4 defense when he's coming over. I know Quinn got some of his guys from Seattle to come over. Even a guy like some other guys that like Bruce Irvin's trying to get a big contract in the future to come over because they're expecting big things with him. But let's talk about the Falcons. I know it's kind of like more you think of the Falcons, you think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White. But you mentioned it earlier. I'm glad you brought it up. I thought they had a very good draft, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they when I did a draft show, and so when I was, going through all the teams, Atlanta was ranked very high by multiple sites, and I went through it, and they really tried to address a lot of issues through the draft. I think that's great for them, but the only thing is, I don't think that, having a great draft is always a good thing, but I don't think it's going to give immediate effect on the defensive side. Their offense is going to be good, I think. I like Julio Jones. I think, he's going to blow up this year. He got hurt early last year. So I think he's just an awesome receiver. And, Matty Ice, once again, man, he's a dome guy, man. You take him out, it's rough. He does not play that well outside the dome. So I definitely think that will hamper them. But they'll be better than last year. I definitely see that. I think due to the fact that they'll have Julio Jones back, I think that will actually help that offensive line. Even though they try to patch up the offensive line, I think they had a lot of injuries on the offensive line last year also.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they were just trying. They were had people going from guard to tackle. I mean, they were a mess last year. Injuries really killed them last year. But I still see them as this middle-of-the-road team. I don't think they'll be back, like you said, like that Mike Smith, like 13-3, and then they lose in the playoffs. I don't see that. I see more of a decent offense, especially if Julio goes off like I think he is, offense will do well, but I think the defense is still going to be soft. Even if they're more talented than last year, they're just going to be, they were so soft last year. So I think they'll be a little tougher, but they're still going to be soft.
Yeah. The running back situation is a question mark. Beginning, Devonta Freeman is probably going to be the first string running back, but they drafted Tevin Coleman from the University of Indiana. Anton Smith coming back off an injury, who's a game breaker. He got game breaking speed, but it's going to take a combination of all three of those guys to play the majority of the season, even them to be effective. As you said, the offensive line was banged up. Jake Matthews and one of those Matthews family members, left tackle, is going to be in the second season. John Asamoah, when he came over for Kansas City, he's going to be battling for that right guard spot, and Joe Hawley at the center. They had a lot of injuries, and if they could sustain the line, they have a shot to win the division. I believe, because if they could rally enough, here's my thing with the Falcons. They have to go 4-0 within the division. I'm sorry, 3-0. 3-0. Let me see. You got Buccaneers, Saints, Panthers. You got to sweep them at home. Got to sweep them. So you go 3-0 with them, and let's say take 2 out of 3 on the road. They can win the division. Now, it's easier said than done because, you know, Carolina, when we get to them, I think that's the best defense in the South, NFC South. But as far as they can win games against those teams at home. I think their wide receivers. I mean, Roddy White, he still had like 80-plus catches last year. They got Leonard Hankinson coming over from the Redskins, who's going to be like a third, fourth receiver. And Devin Hester, they played him a lot at wide receiver. He did a decent job. I mean, their wide receivers, to me, is pretty good. And they're going to be – Matt Ryan's going to rely on that a lot. If I had to jump on to the defense, it's a work in progress, but they're going to be more defensive-minded with that head coach. They got the stud from Clemson, Vic Beasley. I'm going to see how he's going to do in that 3-4 defense coming over from college. And then they still have the Pro Bowl safety, William Moore. He's coming off an injury, too. And then Desmond Trufant, he was drafted a couple of years ago. I mean, they got some other guys like Justin Duran and Tyson Jackson. I mean, there's not a lot of defensive studs. I mean, it's going to take a while for these guys to even develop. Jonathan Babineau, he's a guy that he's pretty good when healthy. I don't think the defense is all that, but I think it's decent enough, kind of like what the Colts are to the AFC South. It's not all that, but it's if the offense can carry them to a division, I think. Well, what about you?
Yeah. No, I like that comparison, actually, to the Colts. You know, like, definitely, you know, right now what they have with their team is, you know, they're definitely strong on the offensive side. But, you know, like you said, they got a new coach, so they might be defensive-minded, toughen that team up some. Because I think they were really high for giving up a lot of rushing last year. And they were just soft. Like, there was games where people just – it literally looked like people were just pushing them around, like, doing whatever they wanted with them, you know, defensively. And I just think, you know, they've got to toughen up. And like you said, like, within that division, if – you know, I really like how you broke that down. If they take 5 of those games, you know, they definitely have a great shot at – winning that division, because the division winner last year was the Panthers with 7 wins. So, you know, win 5. You win 5, all you need is 2 more, and you got the division. So,
I agree.
So, definitely not the most hardest thing to do if you only got to win 7 games to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree. Give us a rating, 1 out of 10, for the offense and defense for the Atlanta Falcons.
Even though I don't like the running game that much, I'm giving them an 8. Because I think Julio Jones is going to light it up. I think he's going to be like top 3 receiver this year. I just don't think there's going to be anything to do against him. He's just going to blow it up. And defense, I'm giving him a 6. I don't believe in him right now. Like I said, I think they're going to be better than they were last year, but that's about it.
Can I get like a two separate scores for the offense? Let me say it like this. What I mean is, for the offense, in the dome, when they're at home, they're an 8. When they're on the road, they're a 6, maybe a 7. It's a tale of two offenses at home and the road. It's one of those rare teams, kind of like the Saints, where they're at home. They're better when they're at home than when they are on the road. And, of course, defense, I'm with you. They're a 6. They're definitely missing some players on the defensive side. Now, I know they added Brooks Reed from the Texans, and Paul Warlow is still there. But, nah, man. I mean, they're going to get there, honestly. Not this season, though. Give it a couple of seasons defensively. They'll be stacked. I definitely believe that, but definitely not right now, man. I think they have some young corners, and they have a veteran safety, but I do think it's definitely enough to compete. Definitely enough to compete within the division, though. I definitely agree with that. I definitely believe in that. But I'll get to that on our last team, and that will be the division winners from the last two seasons, the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers, you already know, Cameron Newton, college football champion. He's got nothing to work with Doom Radio, especially now his main dude has gone down for the year with ACL injury, and they got to really do a study with these ACL injuries because it's disgusting, man. I know. I mean, I don't know, but the Getterman has done nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing, giving this guy no weapons. This is bad, man. I mean, you have Greg Olsen, who's a 1,000-yard receiver. You have. They added, they got rid of Steve Smith last year. Kelvin Benjamin, who they got in the draft, and he's out. But, I mean, who the hell? D'Angelo Williams, who was aging anyway, he's on to Pittsburgh. What about the Carolina Panthers? I know the defense is very good, but offensively, man, God, what are they working with, man? I know the draft is like they have some questionable picks at the draft, like going up to get Shaq Thompson, who's a good player, but they say a lot of the people thought they reached on that. But what's your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers, man?
I mean, as you said, Benjamin's gone is like. Any hope that offense had is, like, dismal now. It's not looking good. The thing about Newton is he throws high. When he's off, he throws high. So they've been trying to get him some big targets. You know, they have Benjamin, the guy they drafted. They drafted another four receiver in the draft. You know, they're trying to get him those big targets, so if he does overthrow, they can go up and get it. But now that you took one away, now you have another rookie you're going to try to, you know, hope on, and where he would have had a great situation being on the other side of Benjamin, now he might be number one, unproven kind of thing. Just running game's not there. Ever since Newton got hurt, he hasn't been taken off as much.
You don't believe in Jonathan Stewart? You don't believe in Jonathan Stewart?
He's getting older, and he's getting older, and he's definitely not playing as much. You didn't know what these guys were playing last year, him and Williams. They were taking off, like, every other game. Like, one would play, one would be hurt. And it was just, you're just like, you had to wait until Sunday to find out who was playing. Like, they would be, like, game-time decisions every game. Offensive side of the ball is not looking that great at all. As you said, defense, Mike Rivera's done a really good job of making that defense something special over there. And I don't think they could carry the offense. I don't think they could carry the team, though. I think it's too much pressure now. Because I don't even think they could manage the game with that offense. I don't see it.
Let's see. Let me look at it. Like Ted Ginn, Jericho Cotri. Now, the rookie, Devin Funches. There's nothing on this on the outside that scares me. They're nice players, but they don't scare me. Ryan Khalil, who's the center, he's been there for a while. They got the blindside guy, Michael Orr, the guy in my left tackle, he's terrible, man. Terrible. I mean, Greg Olsen's a decent tight end, and I know Ed Dixon is on the team. Whether Jonathan Stewart or Cameron Artis Payne, the running back situation, I know Fozzie Whitaker had a couple burn. They got the big boy, Tolbert, coming out of the fullback position. I don't know, man. It just looks for some reason, it's kind of like they're game managers. I think this team, this offense could open up if they had offensive weapons, but Cam can't do it by himself. He's just going to have to be – just don't turn over the ball. Now, defensively, it's a whole different story, man. Now, even they got away with that not having Greg Hardy for the season for the most part. Charles Johnson on the team. Thomas Davis had a good year. I think Luke Kuechly is one of the most underrated linebackers in the league, man. Talk about the defense for the Carolina Panthers, because I think this is the best defense in the division.
Hands down, best defense in the division. If anybody's going to give them a run for the money, it'll be the Bucks.
Yeah, I agree. They're the second best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you made a really good point that, you know, if Newton's turning the ball over, I mean, you can have best defense you want. If you're on the field too much, you're going to be a tired good defense. And you just, I think that's going to be their heel. I think that's going to kill them this year, is this offense that, you know, we don't know what they're going to do. But Kuechly, like you said, man, he is a beast. He's everywhere.
Yes, he is.
You know, last year, 2 years ago, I believe he was Defense Player of the Year. Last year, you know, he still killed it. He plays, you know, side to side. I mean, he's just a beast mode, man. He's out there doing the damn thing. And, you know, like you said, it's just night and day with that team when you go from defense to offense.
And then they added Shaq Thompson from the University of Washington. I want to see how he does coming in with this fast defense. Thomas Davis, who had like 80 million knee surgeries, he's still finding a way to get into the lineup. They have old Roman Harper. I can't believe he's still in the league. I think he has the most gray hair in the league. The defense is good. It's not great, but it's very good. It's good, it's solid, and this is the only way the Panthers have a shot in the division is this defense. It ain't the offense. Mm-hmm. It's the defense. We all know this. The Bleed Blue Show is not breaking any groundbreaking news. Doom Radio is not breaking any groundbreaking news. The defense, defense would die for this team, because it's only going to be one team coming out of this division. It's not going to be no wild card. Mm-hmm. Before we even get into that aspect, and before we wrap up, give us a scoring on the offense and the defense for the Carolina Panthers.
Let's say offense, I'm just going to give them a 5. I'm going to give their offense a 5 and their defense a 8.
I give the offense a 4. I think it's like the first 4 we have on the Bleed Blue Show with Doom Radio, and then I give the defense an 8. I think that they're respectable enough to be an 8. The defense kept them in the game a lot, even in the playoffs. The offense couldn't do shit. That's the only issue.
Yeah.
In that Seattle game, I mean, they did what they needed to do versus the Arizona Cardinals at home in that wild card weekend or whatever they call that thing. And then when they went to Seattle, the defense kept them in the game against Seattle until the offense started screwing up. So
yeah.
That's how I see it. How did they – this final thought – I would say final thoughts. How do you rank the NFC South 1-4?
I'm going Bucks. I'm sticking by the Bucks, number one. This is rough, to be honest with you. I guess I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Bucks, Atlanta, Panthers, and then the Saints.
I'm going to go, the Bucks sounds tempting, but I'm going to go Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, Saints.
Okay.
If you want to put a 50 spot on that, we can too. So if you use the money in the NFC bet, you can make it up in the NFC South. Give us your final thoughts. We're wrapping up. We got a couple minutes left, but give us a final thoughts real quick on AFC South, NFC South, and your special shout outs, actually, how we can find your content.
First off, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, Doom Radio. You can find us on Twitter, Doom Radio. That's where we're at. Our schedule's going to be coming up soon. We'll be out a lot more. We're thinking of doing a down here in Orlando kickoff with Doom Radio on Thursday night for the Patriots-Steelers game for football. So we'll be putting that out pretty soon to try to get our show a little bit more people following us. So, yeah, that's that's it on that. And like I said, I think two teams are going to come out of AFC South and only one team coming out of the NFC South. And I think I like the Bucks. I really like the Bucks, and hopefully I get to see you for that Bucks Giants game this season, actually.
It sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it. Shout out to Doom Radio, AFC South, NFC South Divisional Breakdown with Doom Radio, Bleed Blue Show, thebleedblueshow.com, at the Facebook fan page, The Bleed Blue Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, all the audio archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn. Shout out to Doom Radio. Out of time, man. It's been fun. Got one more division, two more divisions left. The East will be coming next week. Check out the previous archives with AFC, NFC North, and the AFC, NFC West with Doom Radio, Bleed Blue Show. Got to go, but Bleed Blue.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for having me again.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?